Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, how are you, man?
How are you?
It's good to see you.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. Good to see you after a few years.
Yeah, a couple, yes.
But I'm glad you got back from the camping trip in one piece. I was always concerned about that.
Nothing's changed. We've stayed together.
It's good to see you. We have Peter Mark Jacobson with us, who obviously did this episode of 90210 Camping Trip, but has gone on to do so many really, really incredible things, most notably The Nanny, right? Take me back to this time period when it was, I guess, the 90s, and how you got 90210. Do you remember all of this?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember a lot of auditions, but I do remember this one, because 90210 was like the show to be on at the time as an actor. And this was for a guest role, a juicy role. It was a big, you know, it was pretty big. And I remember going in, and I remember reading, and most of the stuff I had done was comedy. And this wasn't a comic role. But I did something funny in the read, where the woman I was reading with kept going on and on and on about what was going on. And I rolled my eyes like, you know, a husband would do with a wife. And all the producers started laughing. And I thought, okay, I hooked something here. And they seemed very happy. And I went home and I didn't hear anything. And I figured, well, you know, usually with guest roles, they'd like to have a star. And I was not a star. And you're usually in second position at that point. If they can get somebody better, you're out. And a couple of weeks went by, I think, and I got the part. And I was so happy because, you know, it was a show people watched.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I love all the comedy stuff that you've done, you know, I grew up on all that stuff, Too Close for Comfort and Facts of Life and all that stuff. So this must have been fun since I grew up on all that stuff, to come see you like in the 90s on a show that I like was really awesome as well to see. What was it like kind of working with the cast here?
Well, you know, when I got there, the dressing rooms, I'm sure you remember, were all down one long hallway. It was like a frat house, basically. And all the doors were open and everybody was talking with each other. And, you know, like that line from Funny Girl, when you're a stranger, act a little strange. It's like, you don't want to get too friendly because, you know, you're not part of the family yet. And, but the cast was really, really nice. And they were very welcoming and made you feel very at home. And I had a little dressing room, you know, along with them. I was very excited to do this. It was like a huge show. And I loved to work. So at the time that I got the part, I was thrilled to be there with all these people. And they're, you know, that I watched on television, I watched the show too. And there they all were, you know, and I was playing older than them, and I was older than them. So, you know, but they were still very nice and helpful and made you feel, which I think is an important thing for actors on shows to do, is to make the guest star feel as though they're part of the group. So it's a better scene when you start working.
Chuck, do you have any thoughts or memories on Peter auditioning or any of the stuff we were just talking about?
Well, I do. I, you know, it's one thing. Yes, it was. The show had, you know, dramatic, this more than most of our episodes, this one we saw as a comedy drama, because there was a lot of basic, you know, oh, the it's raining, you know, you the beautiful weather, no, it's raining, and no, the fire doesn't work, and no, the food is bad, and no, the boots were left at home. And so we were, you know, looking at it, it to some extent comedy. So, and, you know, my wife was oriented to that kind of, Karen Rosen, the writer, was oriented to that kind of writing. And Jeff Melman, our director, was a, came out of the half hour business. This was his first one he was doing for us. He went on to do another, you know, at least another dozen or so. And over the rest of the time, the 5 years that I ran the show. But the your perception of the guest star is completely backward. We were amazed anybody was showing up, you know, to guest star at all. And in our first 12, it was, you know, our casting director getting agents like Roe Diamond and a few others to just keep doing us a favor by sending people into us, because, you know, we just didn't get that many. And it started to change around this episode. I remember, wow, coming to Paul Wagner, boy, we really got a lot of good actors coming in for this one, including someone whose name eludes me, but who became part of the Drew Carey world with when he did the sketch show. He was one of the people in the sketch with Rain Brady, and that also was one of the people I think who auditioned for this role, or at least for this episode. So but I do remember that it was a fun audition, you know. And I think part of it is that, hey, we were now happening. You know, we survived. We got through the first 12. And, you know, most of the first season was, okay, we'll give you two script orders. That's your next thing. And then we'll give you two script orders and one extra production. You know, I mean, we were just the minimum amount that we could be supported was how Fox was supporting us at the time. So all of a sudden we break through that, get through our summer episodes. And this is the first one between the Beverly Hills Beach Club and us going back to school to repeat our junior year. So another story. But anyway, you know, the one thing I want to point out to you, though, Peter, that I don't know if you remember, because certainly The Nanny, I don't think, had been on the air yet.
No.
That Karen, who wrote this script, was in a graduate school at UCLA, graduate school of playwriting, before she decided to leave the program early to go to UCLA Law School. And her writing partner was Rob Sternen.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, so Prudence has Karen's career. She always had the guy. They were a couple together, but certainly Prudence, well, if Karen's not going to write with me, Prue can do it. And, you know, and
so funny.
None of us saw Prudence then as, I mean, she was, you know, she had lines and she was just, but she was, you know, it was Rob's world and she was just passing through it. Now, before they became the team of writing producers and stuff. So I know that they were close to you because they worked with you guys and co-created The Nanny with you, right? Is that right?
They developed The Nanny. Fran and I created it. They developed it. They're an unbelievable couple. We're still friends, which is, you know, in this business, amazing. We worked together on that show for 6 years or 7 years, I guess, all together with the pilot. Because when we did The Nanny, I'd co-created a couple of things, but I'd never run a show. And, you know, they're not going to give me the run of a show when I've never done it. So they, for the first season, they taught me basically how to run a show.
They came from the show. The two shows that they were most known for was Who's the Boss? And then they had their own show they got on the air called Charmed, that I think lasted for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
But Who's the Boss to The Nanny was their 1-2 knockout punch.
Yeah.
And we were. And certainly The Nanny is one, you know, and it's one of those shows that when you're going through the dial, you know, they're hitting the number, and all of a sudden you hit some random number and get some random network or something and there's the nanny on television looking at you. It holds up, guys. It's funny. I taught writing a little bit at UCLA, and I used to just tell my people, you know, and it was, I'm much more oriented to drama than comedy. So I would just, I didn't have much to say to comedy people about their series, except, well, funny is funny. And so, but the nanny, funny is funny from top to bottom. So congratulations on that, Peter. Not only for doing it, but for holding it up all these years.
Thank you. I took it's now on HBO Max, which is doing amazingly, and which, you know, we were so thrilled because now we're streaming on that too.
Oh, and, that's the great. That I spend most of my time on HBO Max. I'll check it out.
Yeah, and it's without commercials and the original cuts. So it's like a different show than people are used to watching on all the other networks that it plays on.
And you still have music on your show? They didn't cut it out?
Some of them they cut out, but most of it is still the original.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism. It's all the same, ain't it?
Yeah, some of it has changed. But we did some kind of, we did something when we originally got the music that I didn't understand what they were doing. But they said, when we rerun, this is going to be important. And I said, okay. And so for some reason we got protected in a lot of it, I think. But funny you said UCLA, because I took a class at UCLA to learn how to write sitcoms, because which I can't recommend more. And right after that class, Fran and I sold The Nanny, and the woman that taught the class came in for a job.
That's crazy how that works.
The woman,
the woman came in for a job that was the teacher of the.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you're always looking for that as the teacher. Okay, can someone please rescue me from this?
Peter, I'm curious, when you were doing that work, like the 90210 and all that stuff, were you thinking about being a producer writer? How did it come to you that was going to happen? What were you taking from those experiences? How did it happen for you, sort of?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be in show business. I wanted to do a sitcom. I wanted to produce sitcoms. I wanted to be in a sitcom. That was my manifestation, not knowing what it was, but that's what I did from as a kid. I watched them constantly. Fran and I watched them together. We, you know, ad nauseum pulled them apart. I started doing commercials. She started doing commercials. That led into theater. I did theater too. And then she moved to LA to do a job, and I moved with her. And so I started doing episodics, and then I sort of wanted to be an actor. But I hated auditioning, and I always thought I was going to get fired, and I always thought I was going to get cut, and I would get nauseous by the time it finally aired, where it was, and I'd sell like an idea here and there, but wasn't interested in running it or getting involved in it. And finally, I was driving Fran so nuts, she said, either we split up or you become a producer. And because that you don't have a problem with, that you're easy with, that you don't get sick to your stomach if you don't get the job. You're killing yourself. So finally, well, I think I was doing a Matlock or something, and
That's enough to drive you crazy.
Just to remember the lines.
I worked with Andy, and it's an entire chapter in the book.
Peter, sorry. Yeah.
No. I was. I sold a spinoff. I was involved in a spinoff of Who's the Boss with Fran. And then I sold a show to Dan Aykroyd, which was a pilot. And then that same couple of months after that, we sold The Nanny. And I sort of thought, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong side of the business. This is coming much easier to me, and I enjoy it a lot. And now that this is what I do, basically, I find it much more creative, because you've got much more control over what it looks like, over what you look like, everything. You're kind of, you know, you're the producer.
Sure.
And although now that I look at these, when I look at credits that come through the, you know, the series credits, every actor is the producer. You cannot make a deal on HBO Max unless you make the star of your show the one of the producers. That used to be the rarity. Now it's the so you just were ahead of your time, Peter. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was I learned a lot working on shows. 90210 was a great show to work on. I'm not just saying that. It really was. It was very well run. Chuck is a nice guy. And when people are nice, they run a nice show. And I've worked with other producers that not so nice. And the tension around is not good. You can't do a good show if you're like this. Sure. You know, 90210, from the top down, I always say, it just, everyone was kind. I don't know what was going on behind the scene with the guys or anything like that. I can just do my experience with them. They were all really nice. They treated you lovely. And that's all you can expect when you do a show like that. You're just a guest. You're there for a small amount of time. They've got a lot to do. They've got a lot of lines to remember. You've got your one scene. And of course, the whole show surrounds is about you. And when you're finished, you go home and you hope it's not cut out. And you hope that it's not sliced up and that you did a good job. And that was one of the best shows, best experiences I've had on show.
Two people I want to ask you about. Luke Perry, for one, you did work quite a bit with him on this episode. What was it like working with a young Luke Perry in that time?
He was so kind and so nice to me. In fact, years later, I was, when I got divorced from Fran, during The Nanny, it was tabloid, you know, heaven. They just, you know, all over the place, tabloids of splitting up and horrible things were written. And, you know, I remember going to a bakery on Larchmont to drown my sorrows in an eclair. And
sounds fun. Yeah.
I was so like depressed and down, and I just was sitting there eating this, shoving this food in my face. And I look up, and standing right in front of me is Luke Perry,
who lived in Hancock Park in those years.
And he looked at me regarding all the tabloid stuff. And he looked at me and said, "It's not fun, is it?" And I said, "No." And he like patted me on the back, and it was just a kind thing to do. And years later, I worked with him on What I Like About You. Again, he was an actor, I was a producer. And I think I worked with him on something else also, or recommended something, but I always found him to be really, really a nice man and a kind man and a hard worker. And, yeah. You know, when you're in a show like 90210 and you become a breakout teen idol, that's not an easy thing to go through. When you get kind of, you know, one day you're invisible on the street and the next day you're, you know, everybody's grabbing at you. It's hard to deal with for a lot of people, but I thought he dealt with it, you know, quite well. And same with Jason.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I just heard What I Like About You. That's Jenny, isn't it?
Jenny, yeah. Garth. I was just going to ask. That's where I was going. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go.
No. I was going to say, well, you also had the experience of working with Jenny Garth, you know, on this and then many years later. What was that experience like with Jenny?
Jenny was terrific. I mean, I directed her in a few shows. I wrote for her in a few shows. She loved when you would give her certain lines and stuff. She always giggled when she found something funny. I found her, you know, she's not a clown like Fran is a clown. She's a really good actress. Fran is too, but Jenny finds the comedy a different way, I think, because What I Like About You was her and Amanda Bynes, basically their show. And I found her a delight to work with and, you know, beautiful lady and sweet and kind and showed up, knew her lines and did her work and was always on time. And that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. The show 90210 was huge at this time, as you kind of alluded to. Did you get recognized from doing the episode?
I get recognized here and there. Sometimes I think people don't know exactly why. Now with social media, I get recognized more. Because of all the press that I've done for the other shows and stuff and some of the acting that I've done. But I don't remember particularly getting recognized for that one.
Yeah.
But you know, when you live in Los Angeles, people just say the kind of point or something like that, and you don't get something in your teeth. You know,
right. Why right. They
Nobody, but even in Los Angeles, they don't stop you walking down the street and say, "Say, were you my waiter last night?"
Yeah, did I go to school with you? Yeah, and I did a lot of TV commercials back then too. And I remember somebody coming up to me once going, "Are you in that so and so commercial?" I said, "Yes," and he said, "That is the worst commercial." I've
Jesus,
like people just feel they can tell you.
So
you
know, rude.
Yeah, like, oh, thank you.
That sounds like something would happen in New York. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's it, man. I think this was a really good episode. The writing is really powerful on it. I think you delivered something really special in the scenes here. You know, the married couple. And I don't know if you were drawing from anything personal at that time, you know, in this sort of young couple that runs into the to the kids at 90210. Were you doing anything like that? And what did you think of the material that you were given at that time?
I thought it was like I said, it was a nice piece of material, because usually guest stars don't have that much to say. It's very little usually. And this was a nice scene, a couple of nice scenes. And I remember, an actor tries to hook onto something. And when my wife was sort of telling me how annoying I was in the scene, in the audition, and I rolled my eyes like, oh God, I can't listen to this. And all the men in the room laughed. I clicked right then and said, oh, this is the character. You know, he doesn't want to hear anything. And that's what he's going to learn through the episode. And at the end, it all works out. But it's interesting, because the best thing an actor can do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't plan on doing it, but she was annoying me. And I was listening to her, and I just like rolled my eyes like, oh God, I can't listen to her anymore. I thought, and they all laughed, and I thought, ah.
Got it. Yeah.
That's it. And if you're lucky in an audition, if you get that. Quick little story. During the writer's strike, while we were after The Nanny, and I hadn't acted in a while, but I got a call from David Rubin, who was a very, very big casting director, well-respected. And he said, Ashton Kutcher is doing a movie, and this part that's perfectly perfect for you, would you be interested? And I thought, oh yeah, I'm not doing anything. It's a writer's strike. And then I found out I had to audition for it. Now, I hadn't auditioned in 20 years, and I go to this audition thinking it'll just be me. And there's 20 other me's in the room. And I thought, oh, why am I putting myself through this? And I go in and I do the reading, and I do this stupid little funny thing with my hand that they all started laughing with. And again, I thought, okay, got what they're looking for. And I went home, didn't hear anything for a few days. And finally they called and they said, you got it. Remember the thing you did with your hand. So to actors out there, find that little something, doesn't have to be huge, something that can makes you different, that makes you stick out. You might not get that part, but they'll remember you for something else.
Because totally.
You made a mark and you stuck out. Because usually, I'm sure, Chuck, a lot of actors come in and they're fine, but nothing clicks with you. And I think the reason I got this job was just the rolling of the eyes that made them laugh. And the reason I got that movie was because I did this silly thing with my hand.
It's really interesting. Very good stuff here, ma'am. Okay. Thank you so much, Peter, for your time here. It's awesome. You've gone on to do so many great things, and we're just so grateful for the work that you've done with The Nanny, with 90210 and all this stuff. It's really incredible stuff. Chuck, you had one more thing that you wanted to say, I think.
I was just saying but I'll wait 2 weeks. Why don't you go cut it off, and then I want to ask Peter when we get off.
Private question. Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, man. This has been great.
Thank you. Pleasure, Peter.